Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, the investigations continue in Washington, but meanwhile, the business of the presidency goes on. And in Miami today, President Trump outlines his vision to crack down on U.S. travel and trade with Cuba. It's a campaign promise from the president and a potential reversing of the thawing relations established under President Obama as early as 2014. The White House now is moving to restrict tourism money flowing into Cuba. The administration says some of that money is going to oppressive elements of the regime, including military intelligence and security services. Now, according to the Pew Research Center, 75% of Americans support the opening of relations between Cuba and the United States. But is President Trump's crackdown really all that drastic? Christopher Sabatini is a lecturer at Columbia University and the executive director of the research nonprofit Global Americans. Welcome to the studio, Christopher.
Thanks, Todd.
This new policy from President Trump, rolling back some of the openings to Cuba, as we said, what specifically is the president doing here?
Well, first of all, it's not as big or as large as he has intended. It had promised even in the campaign. He had really sort of trashed Obama's policy as being a bad deal. What he's doing is he's going to limit travel that benefits the military. This is what he said several times, what was said in a White House briefing on Thursday afternoon. The idea being that the military controls much of the tourism or hospitality industry in Cuba. So there's going to be greater effort to license restricted travel to the island, clamp down on what exists now are sort of 12 categories of tourism that allow U.S. citizens to travel to Cuba and self-declare that they're going there for cultural purposes but without any sort of guided tours. What he's going to do is sort of require that U.S. citizens to go there, do it under an organized tour group, and that they not stay in military-owned hotels or hospitality institutions.
So that affects individual travel, and does that mean also that American businesses that are doing business with Cuban businesses have to try to certify or declare that that money is also not going to the military?
It's not entirely clear how this will play out in sort of bureaucratic terms or licensing terms. And there's a problem there too. Of course, we know this is a government that is really struggling to staff up and really get in the weeds of policy. But so we aren't really sure. But clearly, there will be greater attention to the reasons for travel and even sort of audits of why people go and to make sure that money spent on the island is not going into the coffers of the military.
What about the bigger issues? The trade embargo, the famous wet foot, dry foot policy that allows Cubans who wind up on U.S. soil to gain immigration access. Are any of those things changing?
Well, first of all, the embargo is law. Thanks to a 1992 law and then 1996-97 law, Helms-Burton, that never changed even under Obama. But there were some allowances for greater trade, for increased U.S. citizens could bring in an unlimited amount of cigars or rum, which allowed them to be able to engage in trade. There were some opportunities with in the pharmaceutical industry. I think those will close down because a lot of those are state or even military-owned. The military owns about two-thirds of the industry in Cuba, so those are going to be shut down. In addition, though, the wet foot, dry foot, the policy that allowed Cubans to arrive as soon as they arrived in the United States to apply for citizenship and to gain residency for the first year, that's not going to be changed. That is still in place. They've made that very clear. It was actually even unpopular among a number of Cuban Americans before.
So what's at play here, Christopher Sabatini, when we step back from the individual pieces of policy here? Staying tough on Cuba is definitely popular among a segment of Republicans. That's understandable. Donald Trump would want to give them something politically that they like. But is there a broader strategy beyond that about what the president is doing here?
Well, first of all, it's not all that popular to begin with. It is a small sliver, as you say, Todd. Basically, about 60 to 65% of Cuban Americans are in favor of lifting the embargo. But for some hardliners like Marco Rubio, the senator of Florida, and Mario Diaz-Balart, the congressman from southern Florida, this is really their baby. This is one of the primary demands, and they've been bragging for a long time that they've been driving this policy. But the truth is that the Obama-era policies were very popular, even within the broader American electorate. 75% of Americans support the Obama policies. So what's driving this is really just a sense of revenge. I think part of it is also just the desire for Trump to sort of strike a better deal, to announce another executive order, to be able to show that he's keeping his promises in the campaign. That's really what's driving a lot of this.
Is there a broader American commentary on authoritarianism or democracy here? I mean, we have the president in Florida doing a traditional American thing, which is decrying authoritarianism in Cuba. But we also have a president who has had praise for Recep Erdogan in Turkey, for Duterte in the Philippines, even for Vladimir Putin himself. There's a disconnect there.
Surely. There's a number of disconnects here. The first one is the one you say, Todd, is that he's going to announce the importance of human rights and democracy, and this is done in those. But Cuba is a country of 11 million people. It's a case where he can argue for democracy with very little cost. I mean, Cuba doesn't matter in the grand geostrategic scheme of things. But at the same time, this is a president who said he's going to roll back regulations and lift the state back from off the backs of U.S. citizens. And actually, he's reimposing it by imposing all of these licensing restrictions on U.S. travelers.
Christopher Sabatini, lecturer at Columbia University and executive director of Global Americans. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Todd.